Hey, everybody. Time the Charlie Kirk Show. Tyler Boyer joins us to talk about a Manchinima. Say that three times fast. Ticket. Third party. Is it time for a third party ticket? Be careful what you wish for. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. That is tpusa.com/YWLS. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. And support our program at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, Mike from Arizona, Molly from Illinois, Michaela from Texas, Kathleen from Florida, Donna from Alabama, Diane from Alabama, Alicia from Arizona, Victor from Arizona, Dean from California, and Selena from Texas, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Tyler Boyer, who's doing a great job running Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. There's going to be a lot of news happening this summer. We have ActCon and so many things happening. Tyler, welcome to the program. Tyler, I wanted you to come on based on some articles I was reading late at night on third-party stuff, because you've been warning about how the Chamber of Commerce is going to try to be drafting Manchin and Sinema in kind of this uniparty Chamber of Commerce ticket. But I want to put that aside for a second. Your reaction, news out of the ruling with Carrie Lake, the Sonny Borelli letter that now the legislature can do what they want without the governor. What's the latest out of Arizona? What's your take?
Well, you know, Sonny's right. So all along, the legislatures across America have the explicit right to make sure that the elections are managed, particularly at the federal level, the way that the legislative body determines. And so I think it's gutsy. It's bold. Sonny's right. Ultimately, I hope that leadership will be focused on this and holding, you know, individuals like the governor accountable. But, you know, there's elements here that you don't need to run legislation in order to make sure the elections are administered appropriately in each state. So he's 100% correct.
So just to build this out, so the Arizona legislature can say we're going to go back to precinct-based voting without the governor?
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody has really pressed this in the way that it needs to be pressed across the United States. But yeah, I mean, the idea here is exactly that. And remember, the legislative body has a lot of power. It's not just in the forcefulness of actually administering elections. It's also the way that the Electoral College is actually managed as well. And so there's a number of things in the Constitution that really haven't been challenged or taken to the degree that they need to necessarily be taken to. And I think that this is part of where we're at in the battle, which is that the left is trying to manipulate our elections so much in these key target states that, you know, God bless the members of our legislatures who are actually taking this power seriously that is defined in the Constitution.
So then really the sky is the limit. What we should be doing is from the grassroots side, tell the Arizona legislature, let's get rid of the voting system the way we have it right now in Maricopa County, which is these voting centers. And Tyler, this is the dumbest thing ever. Go back to precinct-based voting, right? Go back to paper ballots. So basically the legislature can do this and say, hey, Katie Hobbs, guess what? But Tyler, I'm a little bit confused. Why didn't we do this a couple years ago? Is it just, are we now discovering it? Or is it now that it's just kind of like, oh, now that we have a Democrat governor, we can think more creatively?
Well, I think a lot of people, Charlie, just weren't, it just didn't seem like it was a real necessity to take that power back into the hands that it belongs. I mean, think about it. The elections have been basically managed the same way for almost 200 years. And then all of a sudden, just in the last 10 years, things have been manipulated so severely by the left. And so I think people are just finally waking up and realizing like, oh my gosh, we got to take this back into our hands. You know, I would argue this is most of America would agree, if we just turn back the clocks and ran elections the same way that we ran them 10 plus years ago, just about 10 years ago, which was just, we got election results the same night. Election results were tabulated and tallied at the polling site, which was by precinct. You know, this is the reason why we had results so quickly in a place like Arizona, and why it's become so bad and so messed up, was because we've allowed, you know, this radical group of leftists to come in and basically manipulate, you know, these, you know, really bad, really unintelligent, not bright Republicans at the county level, just to allow them to do these things. And so I think it's more than fair for someone to come in and say, look, as a legislative body, we're going to come in, we're just going to turn, we're going to do what the public wants, which is turn back the clocks to how we used to do things 10 years ago. Look a lot more like Florida, how Florida manages their elections. If we did that, everyone would be happy. The playing field would be fair. And then we can get back to, you know, just the issues. That's what elections should be about, not the administration of the elections.
Well, I hope that Borelli comes up, and I mean, you have more power than I do on this, but just say, okay, we're done with voting centers. And by the way, so just so I'm understanding, they can get rid of early voting then. They could just say one day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know at what depths, you know, because of laws that were passed versus what they, because you can make the argument that the legislature has passed these laws. So the laws that were passed and ultimately signed by the former governor or the governor could, you know, that could be looked at. Well, it's like, well, the legislature was the one that came up with this idea. And so there's going to be a battle that ensues around some of these things, but certainly things that are in the election procedure manual. And again, we're getting really deep for the audience here, but most states have what's called an election procedure manual, which is really rules that are made up in the administration of the elections, typically by the county elections officials and the secretary of state. And so if you've got a really bad one like we do in Arizona, you know, they can make up rules that aren't necessarily law. And this is basically how we've come to the administration of voting centers, which are not by precinct in Arizona. But we have laws on the books that currently say you have to do hand count procedures by precinct. You have to do all these different functions by precinct. And so they're basically not living by the law. And I think what Sonny is saying and what the legislature can do is ultimately come back and say, hey, look, guys, there's all these different things that you're not doing because you've manipulated and changed the elections. This isn't law. And we're going to come in and say, hey, no, this is how the procedure is going to be moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, so we're in this circumstance. I'm just kind of chuckling right now because it's a big mystery, right? It's a mystery, but I sure hope the legislature uses their power. And then so Tyler, is this also applicable in Wisconsin? Can the Wisconsin legislature just decide to do what they want to do? I mean, we should just ask for the order. We should get rid of all drop boxes. We should get rid of all mail-in voting. We should get rid of all absentee except for excuse. We should just go to one day, election day. So we could basically fix all of our elections without a governor's consent. I'm just shocked that no one had this idea before the midterms, before we got our clock cleaned.
Well, again, Charlie, some of this is like so, it's so new. And remember, we've had some bad legislators too. So there's, you know, you brought up Wisconsin. So Wisconsin's in a really good place where we have Republican legislature. We have many places in America that have Republican supermajorities that can certainly take this power back into their hands without the need of the governor, without the battle of the governor. And so, I mean, look, it's more so, I think, of a cultural revolution that's happened where people are finally coming to their senses. Even more establishment members of the Republican Party are coming to their senses going, oh, we are up against psychopaths who are trying to just completely obliterate election procedure or trying to manipulate us into oblivion. They're finally getting it. And, you know, we know about this pretty intensely in Arizona because it's been happening for, you know, going on 8 years now. But in the many states, this is like, that's the first two. And so they've been watching what's happened in Arizona and Fulton County and in Maricopa County. And they're going, Oh, now I get it. They're trying to do this here at my house in a deep red state. No, we're not going to do it. And so now we're getting a lot more of like the Republican psyche is now changed. It's now further along in that process, which I think is now why people are going, oh, okay, we got to take the constitutional authority into our hands.
Tyler, you've been talking about for a while that the entrenched corporate power, they're going to try to place some bets. Tim Scott running for the presidency, really sweet and honorable man. Wish him the best. I don't think he's got a chance to become the nominee unless things completely fall apart. But a lot of corporate money is going behind Tim Scott, which, again, I think it's better to support Tim Scott than Mike Pence. I think Tim Scott actually has something to say that drives the left nuts, but he's not conservative enough for me. But there is even some people think Tim Scott is too radical. I think that we're at a place where there's enough moderates and definitely enough donors and corporate interests that might draft a third party ticket. And it looks like it could be Manchinima and a combination of it. And you've been saying it for a while. And or maybe Joe Biden is going to kick Cammy out and put Sinema as VP to help carry Arizona. These are all speculation, but not so much. Manchinima, they are popping up more and more together in press interviews. You're seeing a lot of corporate donors floated out. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce likes this idea. And my working hypothesis is I think this actually helps Republicans more than Democrats. I could be wrong, Tyler. I don't know if you agree or not. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what is life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. There's this pile of money from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that doesn't like the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, the AOC. They certainly don't like anything on the right. They love Sinema. They love Manchin because they're quote-unquote moderate and all that nonsense. Is there going to be a draft Manchinima campaign for the U.S. Chamber crowd to try to get a quote-unquote third way? Or do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's already underway. We've seen it. So you just brought up the chamber, U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been in love with Kyrsten Sinema since the day she entered Congress. And they were very nervous when Jeff Flake lost or was out. He was losing in the polls and he decided to tap out. They were very nervous of what was going to happen here, who was going to become the U.S. Senator from Arizona. It's a very powerful thing. The Kochs had invested a ton, and we've started to see where the Kochs have spent a ton of time in the chamber, that there's a lot of Koch adjacent people and a lot of friendly chamber Republicans who are, just hanging out and hanging around Kyrsten Sinema headquarters. And so when you look at this, you're exactly right with the races is playing out. Her decision to move to independent was by no mistake. It wasn't just she took lightly. She had lost a majority of the Democrat base. And so, there's a plan afoot here. The question is the plan, see how far she can get in the Arizona election here for U.S. Senate, see how it plays out, see who the Republican candidate is, and then make a decision, potentially run for vice president, potentially run for third party ticket. There's a lot of options here for a person like Manchin and a person like Sinema, and none of it is good for the Democrats, and potentially these people who support them on our side will never be welcome back ever again to the Republican Party.
Yeah, and so this is mostly donor driven, right? I mean, and there's fabulous donors. We have great donors at Turning Point that are super patriots. I mean more like corporate donor, right? Like these are people that are actively running Fortune 100, Fortune 200 companies that are so out of touch. I'm talking about the Target types, okay? The same ones that put like the trans stuff in Target, they like are really excited about low tax, low regulation, neoliberal, but also woke on the social stuff, right? That's can you kind of just describe what is the philosophical appeal of a Manchinima candidacy?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this is just the entire concept is something that they can control at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, right? Again, what we know, and you just said this at the very beginning, what we know about the chamber is they don't like the direction the Republican Party is going because it's uncontrollable for them. And that's a new thing for corporate America, is that they've had this wonderful situation where they've been able to control, most of the U.S. Senate, most of our governors forever. And now you have this weird situation popping up where it's like, wow, they can read the writing on the wall, the hieroglyphics that are there, that are left behind by MAGA, by the MAGA base, which is like, hey, all the candidates that are coming out cannot be controlled by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
They're free thinkers.
And so they've shifted to these like left behind, anti-progressive, easy to control Democrats. And, you know, a lot of these Democrats are like, oh yeah, we'll warmly accept your help. And in the meantime, this is why people are feeling the uniparty feel. And I've told people for a long time, you know, stop calling, you know, these Republicans who are part of the uniparty. The uniparty is all made up of Democrats. The Chamber of Commerce has made a decision to go exclusively to support the Democrat Party at this point. And we have to call it for what it is and demand that they come back to our side by not just looking at, you know, this world of simply through the prism of what they can control, but of what America wants and what American interests want.
How is this? This is going to manifest almost guaranteed unless there's change in the Arizona Senate race, unless Sinema becomes, you know, private equity spokesperson or, you know, head of ASU, which I think is unlikely. Sinema is going to be in kind of a three-way race that we might see as a precursor, a canary in the coal mine of American politics to come. Tyler, what is going to happen in the Arizona Senate race?
Yeah, and you know, not to get too deeply into it, but there's this no labels party that came out, and a lot of establishment Republicans were like, "Wait, we can't have that." Well, they can't have that because it messes with their uniparty strategy. Because it actually the no labels party, I think, actually helps us.
I agree completely.
Plus the Democrat base. You know, Kyrsten Sinema splitting the Democrat base is great. You know, if there's a third party ticket that's Manchin and Sinema, a Manchinema candidacy, that's great. You know, the scariest thing for us would be Sinema running as VP.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, that would then moderate a radical top of the ticket right at time. But think about it. Republican base is 38-40%, rock solid, pro-life, pro-gun, pro-borders, pro-America. The Democrat Party's been able to margin us with suburban women. If you have a third party moderate, they're going to go towards that, and we as Republicans could win big time conservatives. Tyler, thanks so much. See you soon. Hey, everybody. Summer is here. Look, I love Good Ranchers. In fact, I just had Good Ranchers steak on Sunday, and it was amazing. Look, head on over to goodranchers.com and pick your box. And the best part about summer is you guys can get on the grill. And you need to eat more meat, okay? This vegan stuff, it's a bunch of garbage, okay? It's a bunch of silliness. You got to go to Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is proud to be a trusted source for high-quality, all-American meat, and they're the way to get the most out of your summer grilling season. Head on over to goodranchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeyes, New York strips, all-natural burgers, and the all-delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, promo code Kirk, you guys get $30 off. Look, Good Ranchers supports American ranchers, American farmers. You've got to check it out. This is the perfect time to easily change the way you buy meat. Stop going to the grocery store and supporting whatever woke grocery store it is. You've got to focus on summer meats. By the way, if you just eat proteins and fats and get out those carbohydrates, you'll probably lose some weight as well, by the way. Make the summer one to remember by starting it with American meat delivered to your door from goodranchers.com. Use promo code Kirk for $30 off. I use Good Ranchers. I love it. It tastes so, so good. They do a beautiful job. And this summer, make it a Good Ranchers summer. They've got great chicken. They've got great bacon. They've got all sorts of good stuff. And my favorite is the ribeye. Boy, the ribeye is great. So go to goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk, all the delicious chicken you could ever want. They got burgers too. I mean, come on. Goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. This summer, all your meat needs. Support the Charlie Kirk Show. Support America. Support Good Ranchers. Goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. A couple pieces of breaking news. Number one, it is confirmed that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will announce he's running for president. Ron DeSantis will be taking place in an exclusive Twitter conversation with Elon Musk, and so he'll be doing that on Twitter. Do not be surprised. If Donald Trump starts streaming live on Twitter at the exact same time, that would be something, wouldn't it? It's an interesting strategy. It will definitely get eyeballs, so that's good. Elon is somebody that is incredibly powerful, world's richest man. That makes sense. Is it the best possible audience for a primary? That remains to be seen. But if the idea is to get eyeballs and attention and an announcement, this is strategically smart by DeSantis' team. This is strategically smart to go on Twitter and to do a live stream. I mean, Elon is the number one Twitter out there. And DeSantis will have an opportunity to communicate mostly to undecideds. And so for this, I'm actually kind of glad he's doing it on Twitter, because you're going to be communicating to a lot of moderates and a lot of center-right people that in the general election I'd love to eventually win over. So for that, I hope you make the best pitch possible. Look, the average 75-year-old Christian in Keokuk, Iowa, who is going to be caucusing, is not going to probably be watching on Twitter Spaces. They might watch some of the clips that are re-aired on news networks or radio programs or written in newspapers. But I don't know if that's DeSantis's goal. I think DeSantis wants to get the most impressions, the most eyeballs, and the most engagements. He wants to start with a bang, and this is definitely unique. We'll see. This will be a test. And again, I think Ron DeSantis is a great man. He's the best governor of America, total patriot. I say that as somebody who's endorsed Trump. You guys know that. I don't like it when they fight. I don't like the bickering. I don't like the attacking. I'll say that publicly. I'll say it privately. And Donald Trump is going to win the nomination. The base is behind him 100%. And with this announcement, again, we're going to cover it very closely. We're going to cover it fairly. You see, two things can be simultaneously true. You can be 100% behind Trump while also call balls and strikes and say, look, Ron DeSantis, it very well could be a once-in-a-generation leader. I'm a little afraid, though, for DeSantis' future, because I wouldn't want to run against Trump. He is better at this than anybody else. The guy is savage. He's ferocious. And he already has 50 to 60% of the base. He's got most of conservative media. He's got a lot of money. He has more money and more institutional respect and support than he had in 2016. And he is a man scorned. MAGA is very unforgiving. You want to talk about a long memory? MAGA has a long memory. It took Senator Ted Cruz, who I adore, I think he's one of the great patriots in America, it took him years to recover from the 2016 convention speech. It literally took him years before people were willing to overcome that. And the failure to endorse and the whole thing and the convention speech, the refusal to endorse, I should say. And so I'm a little bit afraid for Ron DeSantis' future. And I say this as someone who considers him a friend. I've known Ron for a long time. And I'm very, very supportive of his future because I think he could be an unbelievable president. I think he'd be an unbelievable leader. I'm afraid he's going to become damaged goods once Trump does what Trump does. And some of you in the audience say, oh, Charlie, I don't like it when Trump does that stuff. I don't like it when Trump. It doesn't matter what you like. You got to live in reality. Okay? Trump is a lion. Trump is relentless. Trump hates to lose. And Trump will ratchet up the temperature until he obliterates you. He will engage the steamroller and he will run you over. And the strategy very well could be, you know, that Ron DeSantis wants to try to activate a different type of demographic to come out in the GOP primary. That's interesting. Maybe that's why he wants to start on Twitter, to try to get to that 20 to 40 something demographic, the kind of demographic that resonates more with the Daily Wire and less with kind of traditional Fox News media. That's kind of more in the Shapiro camp and less in the Bannon camp. Because you can always kind of put a primary into different media figures. Ron DeSantis is going to try to get more Shapiro listeners out. Again, Ben's a great American. I'm not saying this negatively. And less Bannon people. Or he's going to say, okay, the Bannon people are already going to MAGA. That's a tough strategy. There's only been one, and we have Byron Donald in just a second. Let me close the thought. There's only been one candidate. No, that's not true. There's been two candidates. One that did it ultimately successfully and one that did it ultimately unsuccessfully that was able to significantly increase the primary electorate. Actually, that's not true. There's three. Obama did it in 08. Bernie Sanders did it unsuccessfully in 16 and 20. And then Trump did it, obviously, in 16. So it can work. But does DeSantis have the gusto to really motivate and activate more than Trump? Does he have the capacity to expand the electorate in a primary? Primaries traditionally have very, very low turnout, right? Primaries have very low turnout. And to be able to expand the electorate that dramatically, it's going to be a challenge. And we'll see if Governor Ron DeSantis will be able to do that. But all eyes will be on Twitter, that's for sure, tomorrow evening. Joining us now is Congressman Byron Donalds. Congressman, thank you for joining us. I know that you've endorsed President Trump. Ron DeSantis is going to make it official tomorrow. What is your initial reaction?
Well, look, I think this has been one of the worst kept secrets, you know, in politics, but these things happen. I think when you're that high profile, but at the end of the day, Donald Trump's still the leader in the clubhouse. And until that dynamic starts to shift, we're basically where we all knew we were a month ago or 2 months ago.
It is definitely the worst kept secret in Florida politics and certainly in American politics. So, Congressman, I want to try to get your reaction here. The reports are still coming in. It seems as if Russia intercepted two U.S. fighter jets over the Baltic Sea. There's still some confusion as to what they were doing there. I don't quite know the atmospherics of who actually controls the Baltic Sea. And I guess now that, you know, Finland Finland is part of NATO, is that part of it? What is your just initial reaction to some of the geopolitical confusion that we're seeing under this administration?
Oh, look, Charlie, you're the first person getting me this information. I was on the floor. One of the reasons was I'm a little late to be with you on the floor going through some side conversations around debt ceiling. But a couple things. One, and this is a big one, we do not have real leadership at the top in the United States. Russia and China are much more aggressive than they have been, frankly, in quite some time. Definitely they weren't this aggressive when President Trump was in office. And so we're going to continue to see, in my opinion, issues like this, because at the end of the day, they don't think Joe Biden's tough enough to hold them accountable. And you can get into all the gravitas of past relationships and all the other stuff that foreign policy experts try to talk about. But at the end of the day, foreign policy is about, I'm strong, and do you truly think I'll do the thing you don't want to see me do? It's about strength. And right now they're not seeing it in America, and that's really concerning. You know, so for our pilots that are over there, number one is for their safety and that they get home safely, and for their families, you know, just stay tuned and keep your prayers up. Mm-hmm. Make sure nothing happens to our men and women who happen to be in this entanglement right now.
Congressman, what is the latest on the debt ceiling? Kevin McCarthy's driving a hard bargain. Joe Biden says we're still very, very far away from a deal. What can you share?
Well, they're still in there. They're pushing hard right now as we speak. You know, my attitude is if Joe Biden can't be serious, it might be time to start talking to senators. Senate is not even in this week, so you could tell how serious they look at the situation.
It's an existential threat.
You can't make this stuff.
Don't bother my vacation, right?
Yeah, but they're not here. But it might be time to start talking to the U.S. senators and saying, let's maybe they come up with a deal, pass something out of the Senate, and then we sit down and talk through that deal. Because Joe Biden is not leading the country. Surprise, surprise.
Joe Biden wants more revenue. He wants, of course, tax increases. But now, I don't think Joe Biden is negotiating in good faith, because all of his proxies, they're singing in harmony. You know, you have Sweatshirt Shrek, Fetterman, and you have all these other people talking about the 14th Amendment. They don't want to work through you guys, which is completely unconstitutional. So, Congressman, my fear, though, and maybe you can help walk us through this, is there might be a catastrophic move by Republican leadership to say, hey, we're going to get enough of kind of our more moderate members and Democrats and get this hiked. So what I'm saying, though, is we should ask for serious cuts, but we don't control everything. Is that fair to say that there's got to we have to take a good deal when we have it? I don't think we have a good deal yet, but I don't think, you know, somebody said earlier, oh, we control all the cards. No, that's not true. They'll get enough Democrats and enough more moderate Republicans to hike the debt ceiling with very little concessions. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And that's one of the concerns. You know, I'd spend time talking to some members, you know, and stuff like that. And so a lot of members are in different places, depending on where you are in the country. You got some who are basically like, look, I just need a deal to just go ahead and get this thing done and get it over with. And so that's a real concern. I think from the conservative side of the conference, what we've been saying is hold firm. We're the only game in town in terms of where a deal actually has been passed that's actually alive to be to get to the president's desk. So we have a strong position. We don't hold all the cards, but I think we have a good number of cards.
Yes,
I think that if we manage this right, we will actually end up getting a very good deal for the American people.
So let's talk some specifics, if you're comfortable. What would you think some of those concessions would be that are realistic? What do you think?
It's tough, Charlie. It's really tough to put this out here. And typically, I don't like doing that. But now when they're in the room negotiating this stuff, I don't really want to put anything and peel it off the table because my position's clear. To raise the debt ceiling about $1.5 to $2 trillion, we should be cutting about $4.8 to $5 trillion.
Yes.
That's easy stuff. And then the other thing that we should definitely be doing is pulling back these Inflation Reduction Act subsidies, because that stuff, all it is tax cuts for the rich who believe in this crazy Green New Deal stuff, which is going to set back our energy matrix in the United States. So why would we subsidize these Solyndra type companies to make billions of dollars doing business with China and the American people fall behind? Makes no sense at all to me. And so, it's funny. You have the White House and you have the Democrats. They're the ones who now support these quote unquote tax cuts for the rich.
That's a great point. And by the way, just so everyone understands, there's still tens of billions and by some estimates, hundreds of billions of unspent money. We're talking about employee retention credits. We're talking about COVID relief stuff. And this is a different show that we'll do at a different time. But the amount of fraud and abuse, Congressman, as you well know, that came to the COVID money surge was in the tens of billions of dollars, right? DOJ's having a field day going after scam artists and all this. So Congressman, let me just paint not so much of a hypothetical, but I want your position. Joe Biden's a traitor to the country. I've said it before, but let's say he's negotiating in good faith. And he says, okay, I'll give you domestic if you do some foreign. Is there any wiggle room in the Republican caucus to say, hey, we'll cut some of the woke military, because some Republicans are saying you're not going to get a dollar out of the defense budget. Where do you stand on that?
Look, if you're talking about the woke programming in DOD, as far as I'm concerned, that can go immediately.
Good.
I'll be the first one to support those cuts. Secondarily, I think, and this is something we were talking about with dealing with the National Defense Authorization Act that's to come later this year, is procurement reform, actually beginning that work, because we have a situation where we have defense contractors who, whether they deliver or not, the money gets spent. That's a problem. So we shouldn't be doing that at all. So I think if you would get rid of those woke programming, dealing with procurement reform to really help DOD be a lean, mean fighting machine, we should definitely do that as well.
Yeah. So this, what you just articulated is super reasonable. And that shows that Republicans want to get a deal done. Look, you can't get everything that you want, but the Democrats are saying, again, Joe Biden, he's so disingenuous and his puppet people, the puppet masters. And they say, oh, really? What do you guys want to do on foreign policy? And they always go after the military, right? But you just articulated, look, there's some, okay? We'll come to some meet. But hey, Joe, why don't we cut this ridiculous explosion of trillions of dollars of spending, hundreds of billions of dollars of unspent money, the crony green energy subsidies? You got to give a little. And that's why they like the 14th Amendment idea so much, Congressman, is because they don't want to deal with you. They think you're an annoyance. They think the American people are irritating to their regime aims and ambitions. And so you can't push too far. And Congressman, you've been super prudent on this, and our audience agrees. But some people say, oh, Charlie, we have all the cards. No, we have most of the cards. There is a scenario where leadership could go to Democrats to raise the ceiling and we get nothing. So we got to strike it right at the crescendo, right at the proper climax, sell at a high mark, and then move towards the spending bill. Congressman, thank you so much. Appreciate your leadership.
Anytime. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.